Okay, so it's recording. Say again what you just said.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking weirdest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Like, by far.
Doc and me were kind of worried about you because that super heavy fog this morning. We were worried you, like, wrecked your car or something.
Yeah, I almost didn't go, but it wasn't that bad. I could see to drive.
Okay, well, what was the weird thing? Tell me what happened.
Okay, so I drove up Macomber Road and parked at the trailhead, and the fog was even thicker up there in the mountains. Like, heavy. Weirdly heavy. Like, it was almost hard to breathe the air. But anyway, whatever, I just started hiking up the trail, and the first weird thing was the tree. It was, like, just wrong, man.
From Folk Process, we are Keeping the Bones, the podcast that reimagines and remixes classic weird tales and horror fiction into stories set today. I am your host, Jesse Keller. This is our very first season, and if you like what we've been doing, we really appreciate it if you would help us by spreading the word and following, subscribing, and sharing however you can. Okay, on with the show. Our jumping off point for today's episode is A Tale of the Ragged Mountains by Edgar Allan Poe. I met Ben Tron at Perdidos Valley Junior College in the late 90s. We were roommates for about a year. I was taking a radio broadcasting course, and Ben had come home one night and said that he had just had the weirdest day of his life. I had a class project due in a couple of weeks, so I turned on my Sony mini disc recorder and asked him to tell the story. I never actually finished the project, and I ended up dropping the class. That happened a lot back then. But I still had those old mini discs, and as I started producing Keeping the Bones, I remembered Ben's story. So now, 25 years later, I've gotten them transferred over to my computer, and now I'm finally putting that story together. There's actually another reason that spurred me to dig up those old recordings of Ben, but I'm going to leave that for later. Ben Tron was born in Vietnam. His parents brought him to California as a baby in the 1970s, part of the wave of refugees in the wake of the Vietnam War. They eventually settled here in Rancho Perdidos in the Inland Empire, about halfway between San Diego and Los Angeles. When I met Ben at PVJC, he said he was 24 or 25, I think, but he seemed older to me. Though, when you're 19, like I was, 25 might as well be 40. Ben had a unique look, sort of hippie-ish. He had dreadlocks and always wore one of those striped Baja hoodies people got down in Tijuana back in those days. A real classic 90s SoCal stoner look. Ben was really thin, pale, and when I knew him, his eyes had a perpetually glazed over look. It could have been all the weed. Ben was a wake and baker in those days, but he swore he had some kind of medical condition. I don't remember him ever saying exactly what it was specifically, but he showed me pictures of him from high school, and he definitely looked different. Healthier, bright-eyed. A good-looking dude. Ben's condition caused him chronic pain. He'd been to lots of different doctors, but everyone said that there was nothing wrong with him. He tried chiropractors, acupuncture, Ayurveda, homeopathic treatments. Nothing worked. That's how Ben met Dr. Templeton. If I remember right, it was at some type of holistic healing convention. I never got a straight answer to exactly what, if anything, John Templeton was a doctor of. I'm sure it wasn't medicine. Or exactly what treatments he was giving to Ben. I think it had something to do with magnets and low-volt electricity. Anyway, Ben said it was the only thing that seemed to give him some relief. Doc, as we used to call him, used to come over to our apartment almost every night for treatments. And to just hang out, too. Even though he was a lot older than us. In his 50s, maybe? Again, perceptions of age are so different when you're just out of high school. I don't really know what else Doc had going on in his life, but he spent a lot of time at our apartment, watching movies, playing video games, running Dungeons & Dragons campaigns. Ben used to like to go for long hikes in the mountains around Rancho Perdidos, up in the oak and pine woodlands that ring the valley. Most days, he left a little after dawn, hiked for an hour or two, and came back to shower and head to class. But after leaving that day on a foggy morning, he didn't come back, and I went to class without him. He wasn't there when I got home, either. It was dark by the time he finally got back to our apartment, and Doc had already arrived. Doc was on the couch playing video games on our beloved PlayStation 1 when Ben came in and said he had the weirdest day of his life. I should have asked Doc to turn off the game, but, well, this was 25 years ago, and I was still new at this, so please forgive the audio quality.
There was a weird tree. What was weird?
A palm tree.
Okay.
So I got out there to the trailhead. It was still foggy as fuck. I hiked through the fog for a while, an hour maybe. It was just really quiet, like really quiet. And the air felt super heavy, like hard to breathe. I was getting winded, so I sat down by the tree, took a break, and also, you know, burn one down, right?
Of course, yeah.
And halfway through the day, I noticed it. The tree was a palm tree. Kind of weird. You usually don't see palm trees up here in the mountains. It's all live oak, pine trees, manzanitas, and not really palm tree country. And while I was sitting there, I look over and I fucking jump because there was this huge snake.
Oh, dude, a rattlesnake?
No, dude, like a python. A huge ass python, like 10 feet plus.
Give me a break, dude. There's no pythons.
Like a Burmese python. Dude, swear to God.
How would a Burmese python even, like, get up into those mountains? I don't know. Can they even, like, survive out there?
I don't know, but it was huge. I assume, like, it was someone's pet snake that escaped or, you know, they didn't want it anymore and set it loose.
Okay.
But I just backed the fuck up, like, whatever, dude. I kept on hiking, and there's more palm trees and ferns, all kind of plants I don't even recognize.
Huh.
I go up there a lot, and I know it pretty good, but it's a bunch of stuff that I've never seen before. Really green, there's vines and shit, and the trail starts going down into a valley, and the fog is clearing. I see houses, little houses with thatched roofs, and these big green areas full of water. They're like rice farms, you know, rice paddies.
Rice paddies? Come on. This is, okay, this is a dream. You fell asleep by the palm tree and you dreamed the rice paddies.
I mean, I thought that too, but it did not feel like a dream.
Okay, but it was a dream. There are definitely no rice paddies in Rancho Perdidos.
Just let him finish.
Doc, dude, come on. You don't think that there's like a...
Let Ben finish his story.
Doc suddenly seemed really interested in the story. He had shut off the PlayStation and come over to the table where Ben and I were sitting and recording.
Okay, anyway, go ahead, Ben. Tell me about, like, what you saw.
So there was this village and legit rice paddies. And I walk into the valley and there's all these Vietnamese people around. And I'm like, the fuck? Is there a Vietnamese town out here that I've never heard about? It was a trip, man.
Huh.
So this dude in this like classic farmer hat is smiling at and waving at me. He comes over and goes, "Em anh chưa," which is basically hello in Vietnamese, but it literally means have you eaten?
Wait, hello is how have you eaten?
I mean, that's one way to say it. It's several, kind of like, you know, how you doing, you know? You don't actually want to know and people just kind of go, how you doing? Doing good, same deal. How so? Have you eaten? And you just say, yep, and segue onto whatever you're talking about. Except if you are really hungry, then it's cool to say so, and I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of getting hungry, and something in that house smelled good, man. Huh. So I'm like, and QN, you know, yeah, I can eat.
All right.
So before you know it, I'm in this dude's house having some bomb-ass jiaoga, shooting the shit with him and his wife and his kids. They were super nice, asking about my family and whatnot. But then there's some commotion outside, like this crazy noise, and we go out and there's this fucking helicopter landing.
Hey, helicopter?
Yes! And the guy's like, you know, Yun Yi Ye, asking me, what's going on? Like, why are the Americans here?
The Americans? This is in...
Yeah. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
So, a ways ahead, I can see that all around the helicopters, there's a bunch of dudes with guns, M16s, like fatigues. They look like American soldiers, and I'm like, is this a movie shoot? Did I just walk into a movie set? But there's no cameras or... Anyway, suddenly the son of the farmer's guy, this kid, maybe 16, a couple of other guys, jump on a motorbike and tear ass down the road. The Americans see them and they fucking just lit them up. Bullets flying, these guys get into the forest, they're gone. Now the Americans are pissed, yelling at everyone. And this one soldier, blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy, you know, young, he takes his M16 and just start going,
oh my God,
shooting people at just totally fucking random. And then a bunch of other soldiers jump in, they just start shooting to women, kids, old men. The nice farmer guy goes down, and I'm like, I'm just fucking yelling, stop, stop. I don't think the farmers even speak English. I'm the only one that does, and nobody's listening. They're just shooting people no matter how much I yell. And then the blonde guy turns towards me. He just got these blank blue eyes. And he's like, doesn't even see me. And I feel this hit. Like I got punched super hard.
Oh my God.
Like really hard into the chest. I can see him bleeding. It doesn't even hurt. I don't really feel anything. Then I see my body fall, like away from me. Like I'm not in it. And next thing I know, I was just looking up at the sky for a long time. A long time.
Totally not a dream, definitely not. Yeah. Right.
What happened next, Ben?
He woke up.
Hey, Ben.
I just laid there feeling like nothing, like strong nothing, nothingness. And then there was this jolt, like an electric shock. I once stuck a fork in an outlet when I was a kid, and it felt like that, like, yeah! Then I got up. I was still in the village. There were these dead bodies everywhere, and I was in this daze. I didn't feel anything about it. I just walked up the trail. I remember seeing that palm tree. No snake. And then I felt another shock. A jolt. And then I start to come out of it, back into the world. It was late, getting dark. I almost couldn't see the path. I got back into the trailhead and my car. Then I drove here. That's it. That's the story.
That's crazy, man.
I mean, it really did not feel like a dream. I don't know. I guess?
It wasn't a dream.
What?
Huh?
I absolutely do not think it was a dream. I have no idea what it was exactly, but it's not just a dream.
Okay. Okay, you guys are both fucking with me now. Come on.
I'm not fucking with you, man. I swear.
Me neither. I don't think it was a dream. Not exactly. I don't know what it was, but not a dream.
Okay, if it's not a dream, what?
Why, hang on. I gotta go back to my place for a minute. I'll be right back. Just hang on.
Okay.
Doc left in a hurry. When he came back, a little while later, he was carrying a photo album and a small canvas painting. Doc was an amateur painter, landscapes and stuff. He set the canvas on the table, turned it around, and showed it to us. A painting of rice paddies and thatched huts.
Yo, that's exactly it. Like, that's the place. What? How did you? I mean,
course. Now, have a look at this.
He flipped through the photo album. There were pictures of Doc as a young man. He turned a page, and there was a picture of him in Marine fatigues with an M16.
Whoa.
That was me, 1967, in Da Nang.
He turned the page to another picture of himself, this time with his arm around the shoulder of a young Vietnamese man, both of them smiling for the camera.
Holy shit.
Wow! Oh my God!
Yeah.
Yeah.
The young man looked almost identical to Ben Tran. Like the younger, bright-eyed Ben Tran from the pictures he had shown me from before the onset of his condition. There was a long silence. Then Doc pulled out another picture. One that was tucked behind the picture of him with a guy that looked like Ben. It showed the same young man lying on the ground, pale, glassy-eyed. None of us knew what to say.
This guy was Vu Han. He worked with us as a translator. I knew him for about a year. He was a really good kid, good friend. He was with us when we went out to this village, Thuy Bo. And it went like Ben just said.
Shit, man.
There had been an ambush the day before. Even though we thought the village was friendly, Han, my buddy Han, he went out ahead to talk to people about it before we all showed up. And then Huey dropped us all in, and those two guys rode off. And someone figured they were VC, maybe the guys who planned the ambush. But otherwise, the village was mostly, you know, women, children. Old folks.
Shit, man.
It went just like Ben said. Private Steiner was the one that opened up first. And yeah, he was indeed a blonde-haired, blue-eyed fella. Then the other guys joined in. Han was yelling for them to stop shooting. And in all the screaming and confusion. Somebody hit him too. I guess it was Steiner, probably. I always figured by accident, you know, but yeah. That was 30 years ago. I haven't told a single person about it since.
Like, back then or back here?
Huh?
You didn't tell anybody back then or just after you got back home?
I mean, nobody. We didn't talk about it at all, really, after that day. It's not like we were hiding anything. Everyone was there. Hell, the lieutenant colonel was there. There's just nothing to say about it. Then I came home. Life happened.
Life happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that day I met you, Ben. Part of why I befriended you was because you reminded me so much of Han. So much beyond even just appearance. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I wanted to help you however I could. And I'm glad I got to know you. You guys, well, the time I spend here, it means a lot. Ben,
You were there. Motherfuckers mowed down an entire village and you just watched?
Ben, I...
You just fucking watched, Ben?
I was...
Damn!
I was 19. It was war. Kill or be killed. That's why... What my CO always said, it was us versus the good... Us versus them.
What the fuck?
It was us versus them, Ben. Even when I wasn't clear who them was. In a war, people get...
What the fuck were you about to say, John? Huh? You versus who?
I...
Who? Say it.
Ben, I've been carrying this with me a long time. These events. And then I met you and thought, like, here's a chance, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, buddy. Thank you so much for everything. That totally makes up for what you did or what you didn't do, or I'm glad I could be part of your redemption story.
That's not...
What about the others? What happened to them?
The others?
What's his name? Crazy Eyes, blonde guy?
Steiner.
Steiner. You guys keep in touch? Get the old buddies together, have a few brews at the VFW, tell war stories?
I've seen some of them.
Steiner? You seen Steiner?
I've seen him a few times, yeah. He has a wife, a couple of kids. Runs an auto dealership in Florida. He's doing good.
Yeah, man. You know that farmer had a wife, a couple of kids too? I don't think they're doing good.
Everyone was at a loss for what to say next. There was just a long silence, and then I turned off the recorder. Doc mumbled something about work in the morning and left. We still saw him around town from time to time, but he never came back to our apartment. I threw the mini disc in a drawer and didn't listen to it for another 25 years. Until events last year made me pull it out, buy an old mini disc player on eBay, and listen to it with fresh ears. In 2001, I moved away to go to UCLA and mostly lost touch with Ben Tron. When Facebook came around, Ben and I befriended each other, but never really connected. He ended up teaching high school in San Bernardino. But earlier this year, as listeners might remember, there was a mass shooting in Rancho Perdidos, California. A young white supremacist opened fire in a Korean restaurant, killing four, then drove to a Vietnamese restaurant 30 miles away and killed four more. Seven of the eight people slain were of Asian descent. Doc would have recognized the gunman's weapon, an AR-15-style rifle. The weapon the U.S. military adapted into the M16 that was issued to Marines in Vietnam. Doc would also have recognized the racial slur survivors reported hearing the gunman use. The Vietnamese restaurant was owned by Nguyen Thuy and Tran Hai, Ben Tran's parents. Along with his mother, Ben Tran was one of the eight people killed. He was shot just once, a fatal wound to the chest. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Bones. This episode was adapted and produced by me, Jesse Keller, with huge help from Tommy Lim and Abby Watt. The voices you heard today were Alexander Nguyen, John Pollock, and me. This is usually the point where I ask you to support and follow our show, and we certainly do appreciate that. But given the heavy subject matter we just explored in our reimagining of the Edgar Allan Poe story, A Tale of the Ragged Mountains, I'd like to instead ask that you please consider heading over to stopaapihate.org and find out more about how you might be able to help fight against the many very real tragedies that inspired the imagined tragedy you just heard. We will be back soon with another story.